Good evening, everybody. One of the Aseres HaDibros that we read about in this week's Parsha is the mitzvah Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, which very simply means that we have a mitzvah Aseh Midaraisa, a biblical obligation to recite Kiddush every Shabbos. Now, the Rambam, surprisingly, when he talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush, the Rambam tells us that not only is the mitzvah of Kiddush what you thought, but the mitzvah of Kiddush is really all-encompassing. And the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Kiddush in Perek Chavtes Halacha Aleph, the Rambam tells us that the mitzvah Kiddush includes not only to recite Kiddush at the beginning, at the onset of Shabbos, but also at the conclusion, at the end of Shabbos, at the completion of Shabbos, we have an obligation to recite Havdalah. That all falls under the category of being Mekadesh as HaShabbos, explains the Rambam. Because you have an obligation to highlight the uniqueness of Shabbos, B'knisaso u'b'yitziyaso. On the bookends of Shabbos, both in the beginning and at the end, we have the very same obligation. Therefore, Kiddush and Havdalah will be both part of the very same mitzvah. This is the opinion of the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah saseh midaraisa. This is the way the Magen Avraham writes in Ilchas Havdalah Reish Tadivav. And this is the opinion of many Rishonim. There are other Rishonim, one of them being the Rush and the Tshuva, who disagrees, and who feels that the mitzvah of Havdalah is only a mitzvah midrabanan. It's a totally separate mitzvah on its own. It stands alone. It's not connected at all with the mitzvah of Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And an obvious difference between the two opinions will be whether or not women are obligated in the mitzvah of Havdalah. If you assume that the mitzvah of Havdalah is all part of the mitzvah of Kiddush, then the same way women are obligated in Kiddush because kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar, whoever's included in the negative commandments of Shabbos is also included in the positive commandments of Shabbos, then obviously women will be obligated just like they're obligated in Kiddush. However, if you assume that it's a separate mitzvah on its own, and it's only midrabanan in its nature, then we would assume that it's just like every other time-bound mitzvah, every other mitzvah, saseh shahazman grama, where women would not be obligated. The Shulchan Aruch paskens lahalacha that women are obligated. Strictly speaking, we hold like the Rambam that Kiddush and Havdalah are all part of one mitzvah. Therefore, women are obligated in Havdalah the same way they're obligated to make Kiddush. And therefore, we would assume that women share the obligation equally. However, the Rambam says if the woman can hear somebody else who can recite Havdalah for her, as not to get involved in this disagreement and this dispute in the Rishonim, it's best that she should hear from someone else. But obviously, the Mishnah Berurah points out if it's a big tircha for her, if it's difficult, or if it's not feasible for her to have someone else, or certainly if she's going to listen over the phone, which is a whole big shaila in and of itself, whether or not you can listen to Havdalah over the phone, certainly it would be preferable for the woman to make Havdalah on her own and not listen to a man, because we hold really, like the Rambam, that women are obligated in Kiddush and in Havdalah equally. Now, before making Havdalah, we know the halacha is one is not allowed to perform any malacha, one is not allowed to do any sort of activity that's not permissible to be done on Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has the following issue that he discusses in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. How do I ever get into a taxi on Matzah Shabbos when I know that the taxi driver in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, is going to be perhaps a chiloni, and I know that he has not yet recited Havdalah, and now I am actively asking him to do malacha for me when I know that he has not yet recited Havdalah? Isn't that a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol? How am I allowed to get into a taxi and ask him to do a malacha when I know that he's violating the halacha of doing some sort of prohibitive activity before the recitation of Havdalah? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that he took upon himself, he was always very careful. Before he got into the taxi, he would get the taxi driver to roll down his window, and he would say, Shavua Tov. And Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that that was a way of, even the chiloni, who's not going to recite Havdalah, that was a way of making sure that he was showing that he was mavdil in some way, that he was going to show that it's no longer Shabbos. He wishes the passenger a Shavua Tov, which means he believes it's no longer Shabbos. There were others who felt very strongly that Rav Shlomo Zalman is incorrect. And why is that? Because part of the mitzvah of Kiddush, or for that matter, if you learn like the Rambam that Havdalah is also subsumed under the mitzvah of Kiddush, part of the mitzvah is not just to say that Shabbos begins at this time, Shabbos ends at that time, and as long as you say Shavua Tov, now Shabbos is over. No. What the Rambam writes, and as well as the Sefer HaChinuch says, Shehamitzvah hi ledaber dvarim biyom HaShabbos b'knisaso v'chein b'yitziyaso. You have to say some sort of recitation at the beginning and at the end, at the bookends of Shabbos. However, you have to say something about the uniqueness of Shabbos. It's not good enough to say Shabbos starts, Shabbos ends. That's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush or of Havdalah. You have to say something of Gedulas Hayom Uma'alaso, V'Havdalaso L'Shvach Mishar Hayomim. You have to show how it's highlighted, how it's different, how it's special and unique from all the different days of the week. And it's not enough just to say Shavua Tov, or just to say now is Shabbos, and now Shabbos is over. That's not going to be sufficient to fulfill your obligation of saying Kiddush or Havdalah, and therefore it was questionable whether or not Rav Shlomo Zalman's idea here of getting into the taxi and saying Shavua Tov, whether or not that would suffice to take care of the issue that was raised. So this question, even if it helps, Rav Shlomo Zalman then goes on to discuss another question. This is not in the Halicha Shlomo, but it's in a different sefer of Rav Shlomo Zalman, where he writes, well, what happens if I'm a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a very prevalent question there, and I'm a Seder Kedushin on a Sunday for a couple that's not religious. So I know that the couple has not yet recited Havdalah, and we know that one is not allowed to eat anything before reciting Havdalah. So I know if I'm going to stand under the chuppah, I'm going to have a cup of wine, I'm going to ask the chassan to drink, the kallah to drink, if they're doing it on their own, so that's their own problem. But over here, I'm forcing a cup of wine into their mouth. I'm asking the chassan, please take a drink. I'm actively asking the kallah to take a drink when I know that they are violating halacha that you're not allowed to have anything to eat or drink before reciting Havdalah. So I asked Shlomo Zalman, how do you get out of that problem? Even if you agree with my solution and you say Shavua Tov to the taxi driver before getting in the car, well, how are you going to get out of this problem of being Masada Kedushin officiating at a wedding and having actively the person violate something that they're not allowed to do? And here Shlomo Zalman says a whopper of a chiddush. And he says that the only time that there's a prohibition for a person to eat or drink before Havdalah is when they know that ultimately Havdalah is going to be recited. But let's say they have no plan on reciting Havdalah. So then the obligation, then the prohibition against eating or drinking before Havdalah would not apply to them. I assume where he gets it from is, let's say we have the concept of an onen, of somebody who's going to take care of a mace, of a nifter, of somebody in their family who needs to be buried. So they're not going to recite Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos because the Levaya is tomorrow. What are you going to tell them? They're not allowed to eat until tomorrow afternoon? Of course not. They're allowed to eat now. I assume the reason why is because we know you're not going to recite Havdalah. So if we know you're not going to recite Havdalah, you have no problem to eat now or to drink now, because the only time it's a prohibition is when we know that Havdalah is going to come. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman makes a tremendous leap, and he says, well, not only does that apply to that halacha of an onid, but we can apply it even to someone who is not reciting Havdalah because they choose not to say Havdalah. Well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, in a case like that, there would be no prohibition for them to eat or drink before, if you know ultimately that they will not be reciting Havdalah at all. There is another very interesting related shaila, but not exactly the same, and that is that the Rama writes in Hilchos Brachos that one is not allowed to offer food to somebody who you know will not recite a bracha before they put the food in their mouth. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach here again, he writes in his Shuvah in a third place, he writes, I'm just putting these together because they're similar shailas, and you see the greatness of a Gadol B'Yisrael, that he has such a caring and sensitivity for the Aveira, so to speak, of a Chiloni Jew, who, you know, we have to care about, we have to think a lot about them as well, and figure out how to fit them into the halachic process, and how to make life easier for them. So that's something Rav Shlomo Zalman obviously spent a lot of time doing. Well, here says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if I'm going to have a hot summer day in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chiloni Jew is not, he's very hot, and he wants a drink, and he walks by my house, I see he's perspiring, or he's doing work on my house, and I'm not going to offer him a drink, because I know that he's not going to recite a bracha? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I can't do such a thing. And listen to his beautiful words. He says, Harei zedom lemisha kotea etzbo meraglo shel chavero. Imagine if I have to do an amputation. I have to do an amputation in order to save the whole limb. If I don't amputate a finger, I'm going to have to cut off the whole hand. It's obvious that in such a case, I'm not called somebody who's being harmful to the other person. I'm doing something that's advantageous to them. I'm being the most helpful person because I'm saving the rest of the leg by only cutting off a finger. Obviously, you would brand such a person as a mitzvah man because you are helping the person live and you're making sure that they don't mutilate their body even more. Kach gam kam, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's the same over here. Eino chashiv kemachshil. If I offer a non-religious Jew a drink or something to eat because that's the normal thing that anyone would do in such a scenario, that is not called being machshilim, ela adarabim ma'aseyuzeh, with this activity that I'm doing to offer him something to eat or drink when I know he's not going to recite a bracha, hu matzil osa me'avin chamer, I am saving him from something even worse, and what is that? Sinas ha'torah v'lom deha. What's the alternative? If I don't offer him a drink in the sweltering hot, he's going to say, look at these religious Jews, you see? They can't even offer me a cup of water, they can't give me anything, and he's going to come to hate a religious person, which is a lot worse. That's a violation midaraisa, as opposed to just not reciting a bracha, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is only a mitzvah midrabbana. So these are very important issues, and again, it comes up all the time. One final shaila, and that is what this will daven Maariv. One final shaila that there's a lot of literature about is, let's say you have a mifaked, let's say you have a general in the army, in the Israeli army, and he lets out the soldiers, let's say, 1 or 2 days a week. So the mifaked has the shaila. He's a religious person. He has a non-religious chayal in his group. And he wants to know, can I let him out for a Shabbos? Can I let him go home for a Shabbos and not have to work with the army on Shabbos? Well, if he stays in the army base, everything that he's doing is going to be basically pikuach nefesh. So all of that is allowed on Shabbos. If I send him home for Shabbos, he's going to do tons of malachas on his own, which are not permissible. So do I have a right to send him home when I know it's going to cause him to do more malacha? Or do I have to save him back on Shabbos in the base to make sure that everything he's doing is mishum pikuach nefesh? Fascinating shailas, which, I assume most of us are not mifakdim in the army, so it's not so relevant. But the point is that these are serious, serious questions, and one has to weigh all the time the balance between losisna sachicha bilvavecha, what is the outcome? What are they going to think of us if we don't provide them with a certain service? If we don't do something which is normally acceptable for everyone in the world to do, what is the irreligious Jew going to think, and how is that going to cause him to do something perhaps even worse? That might mean that we have to bypass our own halacha system and figure out how we're going to deal with it in order to make life a little bit easier for him. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha.